I want to begin with a story. There was a couple that were married for quite a number of years. They had certain financial stability, but they had certain health issues. One of the couples had health issues. They had certain religious issues. They weren't on the same level religiously. There was a big difference between them. And they had their issues. And I knew the husband, and he was considering divorce for quite a while, for quite a few years that they were married. And then I bumped into him on the street one day, and he told me that he just came back. He had to fly out. He was out of the country for a month. And he tells me, you know, an amazing thing happened when I had to live alone in an apartment. I came back the first day after my meetings, and I walk into the bedroom, and my socks are still on the floor. Why are my socks still on the floor? No one took my socks off the floor. My socks are still near the bed. Okay. I went to the fridge, and it was empty. Why is there no food in the fridge? He says, you know, I started to miss my wife on the first day. I'm listening, okay. Tells me a week into my trip, I had an important business meeting. I woke up late. No one woke me? I'm running to get dressed, and I have no laundered clothing. I don't have an iron shirt. My last shirt is dirty. I got no clean shirt to wear to the meeting, and I'm fuming. How come I have no clean shirt? The guy tells me, I don't get it. The first night I came home, I came to the rented apartment, I was so hungry, and there was no food. And I started thinking, boy, I miss her. And then when I hit that meeting and I didn't have what to wear, and I had to show up late, and I looked like a slob, and I really missed her. Sorry, guys. So I'm listening to all this, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, buddy, you're right. You paid a very cheap price for a small piece of metal, and you got yourself a really good maid. So you missed that maid, right? That's what you missed. You didn't miss your wife. You missed the one who does the shopping, the one who takes off your socks off the floor, the one who prepares your food, and the one who cleans your clothing. But I didn't say a word. I was listening. And the guy tells me, I want you to know, it was much deeper than that. It wasn't just that I didn't have the person who cleans up everything, who prepares everything. It was that the person who I share everything with, when I come home after a day's work, and I want to tell her how my day was, so when it's my night, it's 3-4 o'clock in the morning by her, I can't call her up. And when anything special happens, there's no one to tell it to. And when anything special happens, there's no one to experience it with. So I'm thinking, okay, so you're missing a friend. So you're missing a psychologist. And then he said, but it's more than that. It's more than that. Marriage is the most beautiful thing that Hashem gave us. When Hashem wanted to find something to describe the Torah, Hashem gave the mashal of an isha tova, a good wife. That means that there's nothing better than a good wife. Not I'm saying that. The Midrash says that. The Gemara teaches us that a person who's not married will not have good, will not have peacefulness, will not have Torah. He's lacking almost anything good in the world. And when a person gets married, that's when he has the potential to have all of those. Marriage is the sweetest thing that God gave us. It's the potential for true Torah. It's the potential for true chesed. And bearing that in mind, we're going to go off on a journey now about the miseries of marriage. Because in truth, many, many people are miserable in marriage. And we have to understand why, so that we don't fall into that pitfall. Most people get married, and you'll ask them what they're looking for, what they want out of marriage, and their answers really revolve around the answer, I want to be happy. You'll ask some people why they're getting divorced, and they'll say, I wasn't happy in the marriage. I want to tell you something, and you guys are going to think I'm nuts, but bear with me, because I began with an introduction telling you that it's the sweetest thing there is. So I'm not totally crazy. This is the first generation, this is the last 50 years, is the first time that people thought it was a legitimate reason to get divorced because they weren't happy. Didn't exist. So it's true. We're going to discuss that it's the sweetest thing there is. But we also have to understand that our approach to marriage is totally warped. We're approaching marriage as Westerners. And listen to all the love songs. And listen to every person's description here. And some people made it very nice by including Hashem's name and making it on a very high level. But at the end of the day, people have expectations. And it's good to have expectations. We should have goals. We should have goals. But we have to understand what's really happening when we get married. Imagine that you were born and you only had 3 fingers on your hand. I have a friend who has only 1 hand. I have a very, very good friend. Some of you guys might have seen him, who was born with only 1 hand. He doesn't have 2 arms. Now, I feel to an extent that this whole class is going to be trying to describe what it's like to living with one, what it's like living with 1 arm. Until I was once in a situation where I had to hold a baby and try to open up a package, something to give my son to eat. And I suddenly said, hey, you can't really do things with 1 hand. How do you tie a shoe? I'm holding the baby with 1 hand, and I got to juggle things with 1 hand. And I asked myself, how does this guy do it? And I never fathomed how difficult it was to live with 1 hand. Well, by the same token, everything we're going to be describing now, for someone who hasn't yet experienced it, is esoteric. But after you've heard it, it will remain in your head. And when it comes time to put it into effect, God willing, you'll put it into effect. A person's born with a hand that has 3 fingers. Will that person walk over to a doctor and say, doctor, this is a terrible hand. Everyone else out there has 5 fingers. I only have 3. Do me a favor, let's get rid of this hand. What's it good for? Put on a prosthetic. Let's get a better hand. Let's figure something out. No one says that. People are born with buck teeth. They don't go to the dentist and say, you know what? Take out those teeth. I'll walk around with false teeth. I'll manage. People don't say that. There are people who constantly try to modify. We live in a world that fulfills the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights begins that everyone has the right to pursue happiness. Well, that's what we're doing in this world. We're pursuing happiness. And we think that happiness is encapsulated in the thrills. It's encapsulated in a beautiful wife. It's encapsulated in the thrills of an amusement park, a great car, a great home. Happiness is something that should really encompass almost everything we do. And happiness, true happiness, begins in the home. Most people today that get married are utterly disappointed. most people enter marriage, and shortly after they're married, they reach the conclusion, what did I do this for? Why do I have to put up with this? And I'm not happy. I wanted to be happy. And as much as people don't say it, that's really what's going on. And I'm telling you this after experience with a lot of people. And in truth, Hashem gave us the potential in marriage to attain true happiness. But we don't know what true happiness is. So we've never experienced it. And in all of our minds, whether we like it or not, what we think we're going to get in marriage is very, very Western. We might have reached a level where we could draw a picture and say, well, what the Torah says is what I want. What we can say a lot of high things. But what's really going on inside of us? No one could deny that he wants romance. It's normal. Someone says he doesn't want romance. He's not normal. He should go see a psychiatrist. He's got a problem. It's part of life. It is part of life, but it's a tool. It's an expression of something deeper. It's not an end. And society has taken romance and put it on a pedestal. Wherever you go, it's being advertised. That's the ideal. What are you getting married for? That's not what you're getting married for. If that's what you're getting married for, you're going to be disappointed. Most people are disappointed. That's not the only thing people are getting married for. A guy walks in and says, my wife yells. She doesn't stop yelling. She drives me crazy. She doesn't stop yelling. Next guy walks in and says, my wife's got such a temper. She breaks dishes. She's nuts. The next guy walks in and says, I can't trust her with a penny. She takes the credit card. She spends the next month's salary. I haven't earned it yet, and I'm owing it to the bank. Next guy walks in and says, my wife is so stingy, if I buy a popsicle stick, she goes off the handle. The next guy says, you know, I try to show her love. I buy her flowers for Shabbos. And she says, if you could afford those flowers, then go buy me a dress. What do you mean go buy me a dress? Where's your appreciation? I'll buy you a dress. If I just brought you flowers. Many, many, many people very shortly after they're married, are considering divorce. Most people. Some will tell you, and some won't. Hashem is sitting in heaven and saying, I gave you the greatest bracha, but you don't begin to know what you're going to get out of this marriage. People enter marriage wanting things that are totally wrong to want for marriage. A guy could come to me and tell me, what do you want? How could I continue with her? We were standing at the grocery, and she wanted to buy something expensive, and I told her we can't afford it. And she started making a ruckus, and she started yelling at me, you skimp! You don't buy me anything I need. You can afford it. Why aren't you buying it for me? I understand him. That's embarrassing. I'm not saying she's right. But you know what? Every person and every marriage has their surprises. There's no person who gets married who does not encounter something which he is, in his mind, perfectly legitimate in saying, I don't have to put up with this. This is ridiculous. She didn't call me up. She was out till 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying she's right. But there's a difference between saying that someone's not right and saying, I don't have to put up with this. And the question is, what's happening when we get married? So if a person walks into marriage and says, I want happiness. I want someone who I could share my life with. I want a concentric circle. Someone who I could share what's going on in my life, what's important to me. We share ideals, we share values, and we could discuss things together. Okay, that's a legitimate request. That's what you want out of marriage. But don't think that's what you're going to get. That's not how it works. It's true, to an extent. You do try to find a wife who has the same goals. And it's true that you hope to share ideals. But it's also true that there are 100 surprises along the way. And you know what? No one's perfect. One guy said, I'm not happy. There's no reason I should continue in this. told him, I promise you, if you get divorced, you will be miserable. You don't think you're happy now, but I'm telling you, if you get divorced, you'll be miserable. No one to talk to. He said, I'm not happy. Why should I be in a marriage that I'm not happy? That's not the approach. When you look for a wife, you look for the wife that fits exactly. You look for the wife that fits according to the criterion that are important. Obviously, no one fits exactly, but according to the criterion that are important. But once you're married, stick it out, and you'll see it'll get better. You guys have to learn to match to one another, to help one another. You know what? Marriage is like a puzzle. Two pieces fit together. But each one of us isn't ready to move a little bit to let the other one fit. And you know what? The same way we hear all the stories about her, I can tell you all the stories about him. How many wives have to watch the salary? Nowadays, more husbands are spending than the wives are spending. It's true. It's more common that you can't trust the husband with the salary than the wife. Nowadays, husbands are totally irresponsible, and wives are. I know many couples where the wife runs the bank account, because if he'd run it, they'd be broke. How many couples the husband shows up 3 hours late and he doesn't bother calling? How many couples does he promise her he'll be on time for her friend's wedding and he doesn't barely bother showing up? There are hundreds of examples. He tells her we have to save money, then he goes out and buys himself a new MP3 player. I've been saving on every little thing that I buy. He needs it, right, he needs it. Like my mother always says, there are little boys and big boys, and there are little women and big women. A girl who's 3 years old is a little woman, and a man who's 30 years old is a big boy. So he has a bigger toy that he needs. He needs that toy.
And I was thinking about something else. Like, boys like toys, but women like diamonds.
Okay. The bottom line is that no one, the first thing is everyone has to be prepared that once they're going to start to get to know the other person, they're going to see things that if they're a normal Western adult, their reaction is going to be, I don't have to put up with this, this isn't normal. Every person. You guys don't believe me, but I'm telling you that there's no couple that doesn't cross this point. That they say, why do I have to put up with this? And this, and that. I'm saying this like it's one thing. It's not one thing. Yeah.
There's a problem only Westerners have, you're saying? Or?
I think the Westerners have an approach of instant gratification, and everything is disposable. Today, bags are disposable. Today, cars already, you switch cars. You lease a car. So cars are already disposable. Clothing, you got to be with the latest fashion. Everything is, you have to be up to date. And everything is instant. You need high-speed internet. So now it's not enough to have high-speed internet. You need more high-speed internet. Because why should I wait 2 seconds for the picture to download? No one is willing to wait for satisfaction. No one. Today, everyone is pushing the fact you will have gratification now. Once upon a time, you went to an arcade. Today, you don't go to an arcade. You buy an arcade for the house. So you have Nintendo, so you have Atari, so you have... Every single form of pleasure we're being taught should be given to us now. And a person shouldn't have to wait. And when something doesn't go good, so okay, off with the old and on with the new. You know that today teachers can't really give a student a bad grade. Because when teachers do, the parents sue. And the Board of Education backs the parents. So today, to be a teacher means you have to know how to back yourself because you're going to be sued if you give a bad grade. Now, did the child work to earn the grade? That's a separate question. Did, didn't, you have to be able, you're on the defensive already, even though you're the teacher. Why? Because he needs the good grade. That's what he wants. So what you want is what you should be getting. We're accustomed to getting what we want and getting it right away. And we don't know how to build for pleasure, and we think that happiness is instant also. And the Torah teaches us time and again that true happiness comes over time. It doesn't happen now. There's no such thing as happiness now. Nothing can make you happy now. Anything that makes you happy now is not happiness. It could be joy, it could be a thrill. It's not happiness. Happiness is something you have to invest in, and happiness is something that should last. Happiness cannot be instant. Now, Western culture doesn't understand that. Most of Western culture is If they could only afford it, they're seeking shrinks. Why aren't they happy? The Torah tells us, no, you want to be happy, so build towards it.
They're saying Western perception of happiness is specifically antithetical to Torah happiness, and that's the main problem in marriage today.
You're limiting it to one thing. I didn't limit it to one thing. I think that it's a few things. One is happiness. It's not only happiness. It's also the fact that we've made marriage, we've made the physical a focus. It's one of the focuses of marriage. It's also the fact that we think that marriage is supposed to give us certain things. And we have to change concepts. Marriage is that you're adding an arm. No person says, this arm, it's not tanned enough. Let's get rid of it. We'll get something else. No one says that. A person says that, you say he's crazy. Well, the same thing is true if a person says,